This is Trent Fury, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more Very Queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. You don't record a lot of material by other writers, but you and Chris made an exception with Carolina Pines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we loved Kate Wolf, and Nina was doing a great thing recording Kate's work, and we wanted to be very much a part of it. Chris and I worked with Kate shortly before she passed away, and she was such a powerful influence in the world of folk that we wanted to be a part of that project.
Just an old house with the roof falling in, standing at the edge of the field, watching the crops grow as it's always done before, and nobody lives here anymore. Old memories come whistling like the wind through the walls and the cracked window panes, and the grass is growing high around the cabin door, and nobody lives here anymore. Sun's going down in the Carolina Pines. I'm a long way from home, and I miss that love of mine. Broken windows, empty doors, nobody lives here.
That was a little of the song Carolina Pines, written by Kate Wolf. She died in 1986, and in 1998, a various artists' tribute album was released called Treasures Left Behind, Remembering Kate Wolf. And again, I wish I could play full versions of all of the songs on this show. But hopefully, this will give you a taste of the music in Trent's career, and you'll seek out her releases. Since your breakup with Chris, you've released three excellent solo albums. The first, in 2001, was called Back Home. From it, please tell us about the song All Over Town.
All Over Town. Wow, that was a song I wrote right after, as I was leaving Chris. And it was a song of hope that we could get to a place where we could see each other. I'll find you in the schoolyard. I'll pass you in the underground and wonder how we ever, found our way back home. And my hope is that we could find our way back to really what was the basis of our relationship, which was a very strong friendship. And we have that friendship, but it's a very distant friendship right now. And this, just the phrase All Over Town was that it was. Everybody was talking about it. It was on the streets before I even knew it. People, something's up. Some people came up to me and said they knew when we recorded Radio Quiet that something wasn't quite right. People had their senses of that something was wrong even before I realized that something was tragically wrong with where I was at in that relationship. And I think it's a neat song.
It's a time I still remember from a place that I could never forget. It's a piece of broken pottery from a veil of deep regret. It's the sound of voices in the waves, it's the sound of sea on sea. It It's the beat of all creation. It's the heart of you and me. And it's all over. It's all over. It's all over. Outside the schoolyard and wonder how we ever found our way back home. Storm outside the window, there's thunder in my heart. The rain lets fall the teardrops and the sunlight breaks it. Sense of something sacred, it's the sound of sea on sea. It's the beat of all creation, it's the heart of you and me. And it's all over, it's all over, it's all.
So, Oliver Town was about the breakup. From the same album was the song, This Train.
That was my leaving. That was my metaphor. Well, I always say, you know, that was my return to folk, my true return to a folk album. And you can't do a folk album without a train song. And that was my train song. But it really, I wrote that as I was leaving the West Coast. I lived on the West Coast for 30 years. I was in LA for 17 years. I was in Oregon for 13 years. And I decided to come back home, come back to the Midwest. And in doing so, I drove a rider truck across country with taking basically just my studio and a few things I owned and pulling my car. And it was about leaving the West and never turning back. And it's a song about moving forward and never turning back.
This train only runs on a runaway track. Once you head east, there's no turning back. Once you're on board, the Heartbreak Hotel and the Neon. carried so long. An old guitar and an older song. And I'll find it someday and I'll put it in the place. Give it a name, give it a face. I ride the hansom as a wind rolls by. The trees all bend to the a town can be, far from the mountains, far from the sea. Winter behind me and spring so near. Everything I hope for, everything I fear. Think I may get off when this train comes still. Find me a new star, find me a will. Right up the written and roll up the sorrow, stand up the best. I ride the hansom as a wind blows by. The trees all bend to the cry. This train keeps my heartbeat steady. Line up the rhythm and the roll is ready. This train keeps me right on track. Only the wheels and the west in my back. Only the wheels and the west in my back. Only the wheels and the west in my back.
That was This Train from the Back Home album. And your next album, My Shoes, had an important title track.
That was a song I felt I had to write. I really, really was tired of people saying that I blithely walked away, you know, from a relationship, and how could I have done that, and not realizing that how difficult it is. And I, you know, it is the most difficult thing. It's as difficult to be the one who leaves as it is to be the one who's left. And I always say that, and it's true, you know, and people know it, but people tend to judge you, and it's a song about being judged. And that you should not judge someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. And it's been a very powerful song for me. It's really turned people around to say, oh my God, this must have been hard for you. Hello. You know, and part of the problem was when I left, Chris and I had a whole spring tour. And she got the tour and I had no work. And so she was out there talking about what happened from her point of view. And people only could hear one side of the story. And I said, this is crazy. I'm writing my side of the story of what it's like to be the one who has to leave.
Have you ever had to walk away from someone you had promised your whole life to? And have you ever had to face your fears, bear the tears, and wonder if you'd ever get it right? Have you ever had to close your eyes? Have you ever had to nothing lasts forever in a day? Well, I've done what must be done. I've chased the moon and the sun. Have you ever had to do what I have done? Well, did you ever have to hold your ears, pretending that the cries you hear were always there? And did you ever have to re-explain, take the blame, and wonder if you'd ever get it right? Did you ever have to justify, look that person in the eye, that's someone you had promised every day? Well, I've done what must be done. I chased the moon and the sun. Have you ever had to do what I have done? Everybody has an answer. Everybody takes a side. Everybody has a ticket on this never-ending ride. And the old adage is true. Until you've walked a mile in my shoes, you don't know. ever had to do what I had done. Well, everybody has an answer. Everybody takes a side. Everybody has a ticket on this never-ending ride. And the old adage is true. Until you walked a mile in my shoes, you don't know, but I do.
I think My Shoes has been an important song for me in terms of, and for other people in terms of the recognition of how difficult it is to be a person who leaves a long-term relationship. It's helped a lot of people, I think, through the process of dealing with that breakup. And also that song has been used a lot in therapy and divorce therapy and other kinds of therapy. I think it's a, you know, a very well done song.
What is your writing process?
It's very instinctual. I don't sit down and write every day. Something might hit me, a phrase might come to me, and I'll write it down or I'll record it. I used to write music to words always, because music was always first. And now I write more words to music. I have a lot more to say. As I mature, I find more things to say, and I can say them better now than I think that I have in the past. So I often will write an entire lyric or part of a lyric, and then I'll pick up the guitar and see where it takes me. But the best songs are the ones that just come through me still. And I've got a couple new ones that are that way, and they're just, I just find it remarkable. It's like, wow, where did that come from? They come in 5 minutes.
Some other artists have told me that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're a conduit, it's just you're a conduit. It's amazing. I don't know where it comes from, but, it, you know, to have the facility to take whatever that is and be able to express it, that's phenomenal.
Also from the CD, My Shoes, please tell me about How in the World.
That's basically about that, you know, you need to follow your heart. I wrote that song about my partner, Jane. And, you know, how do you find a partner? How, you know, it's never, the timing is never necessarily right. The place isn't always right, but we always have to look for that person. We can't live without love. We have to follow our hearts.
I was walking down the road one day. I spied a little girl and she was looking my way. And I caught her eye to eye and said, how do you do? Well, she said, much better now than I am talking to you. So I followed her right down the street. She didn't seem to mind, and she was looking so sweet. And I asked her, if you please, where are you walking to? Well, she said, nowhere in particular, I was looking for you. So I asked her, could I maybe tag along? I'll tell you who I am and I will sing you my song. And she said, I wouldn't mind it very much, you see. But I was hoping and wishing that you would stop by me. Told me she loved water and she couldn't stand snakes. And I told her who I was and how I made my way. And she said, tell me more, I'd like to hear all you've got to say. And I told her that could maybe take a spell. I got many songs to sing and many stories to tell. And she said, that's quite all right, I haven't any plans. Why don't you sit right here beside me, maybe take my hand. By then I was quite smitten and I knew I had to stay. So I asked her, could we maybe try our hand at this? But she put her arms around me and we kissed. Well, how in the world do we find each other? Focus, harder still to keep on track. But if you find someone to walk beside you every day, well, there's nothing you can't do, and even less that you can't say. So find someone to love and hang on tight. Talk to her all day and hold her tighter in the night, 'cause only love can make the difference in the day. Well, it may not last forever, but it's worth it in every way.
I love The Wedding Song.
Yeah, I wrote that for my nephew. It was in 2002 I wrote that song because I was... No, 2001. It was my 50th, it was my 50th birthday, and Jane had taken me up to Bryanhead, Utah for a yoga retreat, and I had an assignment to write a song for my nephew. He was getting married, and he loved my music, and he wanted me to write a song for his wedding. And I did, but, you know, it's really about my life and the way I feel about in my heart for my partner. But it's something that I translated to his situation and his love. And I've actually, he's just remarried, and I've written him a new song. He asked me to sing at his new wedding, and the title song of the next CD is a song called True Compass, which I wrote again for his wedding. But the wedding song, you know, it's turned out to be, I called it something different for their wedding. I called it The Love We've Found, but it's the wedding song. And I have sung it at many, many weddings. I've sung it at my oldest brother's wedding. I've sung it at a couple, two different women, two couples that have gotten married, and one in Hawaii, one in Canada. I've sung at many commitment ceremonies. People ask me all the time if they can use the song in their ceremony, and I say absolutely. It seems to be the definitive wedding song. You know, but they're really, you know, you can't write a love song. I always say you can't write a love song unless you're really in love. You can't write a good love song unless you're in love. And it does come from my own heart.
Love is something none of us should ever take for granted. Love is something that we often do. It can shake you to the core, and it can turn the planet. Or it can sneak up in an old soft shoe. In the moments that we're hardest hit, when life gets in the way, always keep in mind the vows without a key. I will love you in the waking hours, the hours of the day. I will love you more each night we fall asleep. Don't lose sight, don't feel bound. Just give thanks for the love we found. Take my hand, take my heart, and I will keep the prayer to never walk apart. Love is how you say my name, the secrets that we share. Love is how you see into my soul. The way you smile, the way you stand, the color of your hair. Most of all, the way our lives unfold. Through the years we grow together, tried and tried so true. I will strive to keep you safe in every way. I will love you like I've never loved, tender only you. I will love you each and every single day. Don't lose sight, don't feel bound. Just give thanks for the love we found. Take my hand, take my heart, and I will keep the prayer to never walk apart. I will keep the prayer to never walk apart.
The song Hawk and a Dove is a very powerful song.
I wrote that on September 12th, 2001. I was at Jane's parents, my in-laws, the day that on September 11th, and just, you know, feeling devastated and feeling helpless. And what can you do in a situation like this? How can I help? And I went out, took my guitar and went outside where I could be alone, and that was a song that came right through me, and it was spurred by the events of September 11th, and it was my prayer for hope and my prayer for peace. And actually, then, you know, I did that 2 days later. I drove to I had a show. Because I was driving, I could do my show. I had a show in Maryland, and it was the night of the candlelight vigil, when everyone went outside to hold candles, and the people that had come to see me at this church, we all went outside just as the president's, the Air Force One and his entourage were flying overhead. It was pretty powerful, and that was the first time I performed that song. But it's on several different compilations. It's on compilations called "Amaze Me: Songs in the Key of Peace," which was used to raise funds for Democracy Now! and Women Against Military Madness and several other organizations. And it's also on Peace on the Porch, Volume 2. Yeah. So it's doing its work in the world.
passion, where lies the love? We run in fear as a hawk devours the dove. Nothing prepares us, nothing we've seen. Our wars are fought abroad and on the big screen. We live the darkness in, let out the love, then run in fear as a hawk devours the dove.
How has your music changed over the years?
Oh, it's gotten much, I'm much more folk influenced than I ever was. Well, except in my early years. I mean, I came from folk. I moved into pop rock. I moved in from folk rock to pop rock. There was a couple years of punk and new wave in there as well. But I've just mellowed, and I've mellowed back into the acoustic guitar. You know, some of it is survival. You can't travel these days if you're going to fly at all. You can't travel with a lot of instruments, and I can't afford to travel with a band. You know, my first and most important instrument is the acoustic guitar, and it's just a natural place for me to be. So I write only these days on the acoustic guitar, and the more I travel in the folk worlds, which I'm doing a lot more these days, the more I find my influences and my inspiration comes from other folk artists, that other storytellers that I love. Because I go to the North American Folk Alliance every year, which is a huge folk conference. But it's become the highlights of every year, and I hear new folk artists. I learn things from other players and singers, and I find that it takes me back into myself and where my roots were and where I started. I write a lot of story songs. I write a lot of love songs, but they're really, really more folk influenced than anything these days.
Has your audience changed?
Well, my audience grows with me. My audience is aging, as am I. I have younger people come to my shows. I'd like to see more because I think my music is ageless. And I call my music rock and aggressive folk because there's an edge to a lot of the stuff I do. And I think that younger, a younger audience appreciates that. But I think my music is timeless. I hope it's timeless. But I look out and, my audience is graying right along with me.
To me, the writing seems wiser, and I like that it's from an older perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, especially the title song of my latest CD about being old, over 50 and still having it.
When you perform, what song gets the most audience reaction?
Right now, anytime, anywhere. Which is that song, because people say, yeah, I'm over 50. Yeah, Yeah, that really, really, really gets a great response.
Tell me about that song.
Well, that song actually came from an experience that I had. I was at the National Women's Music Festival 3 years ago, and I was talking to Alex Olson and Pamela and Ember about joining the union, because I'm vice president of Local 1000, which is the first non-geographically based local of the AFBEM. And the thing that's great about this union is that for the first time ever, traveling folk musicians can look forward to a pension. We have an amazing pension plan. And as a traveling musician, you've never been able to have to get any kind of pension. So it's a great union. And I just believe in this union for many reasons. And I'm trying to get younger women into the union, especially women, because women historically have not had pensions, have not taken care of themselves unless it's been through their husband, and a lot of women don't think that. They still don't think that way. They don't think about retirement. And I want more women in this music, in this union, excuse me, because it's still mostly over 50 white male. So and I was talking to them about pension, and I realized that their eyes were just glazing over, and they weren't really, they weren't thinking about pension plans. And I said to them, I know you're not thinking about pension now, but I said, believe me, it seems like only yesterday that I was in my 20s and now I'm 52. And Alex Olson kind of turned to me and said, you're 52, you're hot. And I just, how do you do it? And I was like, what does that exactly mean? That you can't be hot over 50 is the way I took it. And she assures me that's not what she meant. But it spurred me to write that song. And I always say, I'm now 55, but I'm not dead. And it's about, just because you're over 50 doesn't mean you're not, one, you're not having sex, that you can't be hot, that you're not, you're not out there, that you're not passionate, that you're not emotional, that you're not always working on looking your best and being the best you can be. And women love that song. Women and men both love that song. It's a great song.
I'm an older woman now. It doesn't mean that I am dead. More than anything, it means I'm more alive inside my head. I'm not talking ethereal, 'cause we're physically bred. I can talk you in circles and I can talk you into bed. 'Cause it only gets better and it only gets smarter. It's sweet and it's sexy. It's softer and harder. And it's all about the comfort and it's all about the dare. So I'll take you anytime, anywhere. I'm a married woman now. It doesn't mean that I am blind. There's so much more to see, but only one to take the time. I'm talking fidelity, 'cause we're physically fine. I can talk you in circles, and I talk because you're mine. 'Cause it only gets better, and it only gets smarter. It's sweet and it's sexy. It's softer and harder, and it's all about the comfort. And it's all about the dare. So I'll take you anytime, anywhere.
and it's sexy, it's softer and harder, and it's all about the comfort, and it's all about the care. So I'll take you anytime. Slowly I'm turning the wheels of my world, twisting through time, both a woman and a girl. Passions beat brighter if you take the time to burn, and if you take the time, time takes a turn. I'm a different woman now, 'cause I'm no longer aloof. More than ever when you touch me, well, it sends me through the roof. I'm talking ecstatically, 'cause we're physically fit. I can talk you in circles and you can talk me into bed, 'cause it only gets better and it only gets smarter. It's sweet and it's sexy, it's softer and harder, and it's all about the comfort, and it's all about the dare. And I'll take you anytime, I'll take you anytime, I'll take you anytime, anywhere.
Of course, that was the title track from Tret's 2005 album, Anytime, Anywhere. The most political song from your latest album is Eyes of God.
Mm-hmm, very much so. That's basically about the arrogance of this administration and the arrogance of Bush. You know, how dare you talk from the point of God that you know, point of view that you know God, or that you're speaking for God, that you're doing God's work. I just find that kind of arrogance unbelievable.
Driven by a need for grandeur as the world falls down around us every day. We've got actors in the races, we've got liars in the lead, we've got bullet holes as architecture and wounds that always bleed. While families starve every day and a brother comes home in a bag, the right for the retribution is if it all comes down to war. That peace is not a prophecy, but settling a score is our right as human beings in the eyes of behind the eyes of God. So we march in boot and loud command that this country could demand that's made of all. That a president could dictate what is absolute and wrong, that everything is fixable and everyone is strong. Humans in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, we throw that phrase out lightly, like we possibly could understand. We dare to think we know, and we would walk this earth so lightly if only we could fathom what's behind the eyes. We'll be right back.
behind the eyes of God.
I love the song Drivin'. Can you tell me about it?
I wrote that for Jane. We were driving. She, for 5 years, she took a hiatus from the work that she does, which is hospital administration, to travel with me, to be my booking agent, to be my manager, to be my publicist, to travel with me and sell the clothes and the CDs. And it was a great run, you know, but she was ready to go back to the work that she loves. But we would drive endlessly. I mean, we put 50,000 miles a year on a car for 4 years. Plus flying and renting cars. That was just our personal car. We put 50,000 miles. And we'd get in that car and we would go. And she had bought me a baby Taylor, so that I could write songs in the car because we were always in the car and I needed to write. So she bought me a little guitar so I could actually play, you know, without hitting her in the head with the neck of the guitar. And, we were driving through the night, and we were just passing through Ohio into Kentucky, and I was working on a different song that just was not happening, and I was just about to put the guitar away when I just kind of was noodling around, and I found this chord, I found the sequence, I looked up at the sky, and there was a plane flying, and it was just this beautiful, beautiful night. It was like a Paris blue sky, and I just started singing the song, and she goes, "What was that?" And I said, "It's a new song. I just wrote it." And it was a 5-minute song. And it's all about her traveling with me.
It's a gorgeous night. There's a plane in the sky. And I'm driving, driving with my girl by my side. And the moon is up. Not a cloud to be seen. Is this an earthly delight or a heavenly dream? And I touch your arm to make sure you're real. That I'm not making this up. This is really how love feels. And the first star comes out. Starlight, star bright, you're always the wish that I wish for each night. And the hours fly by like the telephone lines and the radio's on, and we're keeping the time. And I touch your arm to make sure you're real. That I'm not making this up. This is really how. I want to stay with you forever. Ooh. Now it's getting real dark, it's getting real late, and I'm taking you out on a real long days across the Ohio line, through the Kentucky main. And though the sky is so dark, my heart is so light, and I touch your arm to make sure you're real. That I'm not making this up. This is really how love feels.
What is ahead for you in your music?
Well, I'm going to start another CD in 2007. I've just started fundraising, which I have to still do. Every album, every independent artist I know has to raise funds to be able to do the work. I hope to start recording in May and have it out by the fall of 2007. I've written most of the material. I've got a couple more songs to write. I've come back into a creative space, so I think I've got some more songs brewing that will finish up, round out the album. And that'll be out in the fall, and so I'll have to be touring that. I'm actually trying to tour less because the older I get, the more I love to be home, and I have a wonderful home life, a wonderful partner, animals, and, you know, and my store. So I'm sort of touring, I'm trying to tour 2 weekends out of a month, 6 shows a year or so, and that's working out pretty well for me right now. And that's what I will continue to do. I love touring, but I don't want to be out there all the time. And I'm hoping that as the internet grows and as web grows, I can tour less but still be able to survive making my music.
I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And I want to especially thank Trett Fury for the wonderful interview. And, as I had expected, the interview was so good that I could not fit it into the radio version of this show, so my internet listeners could hear an extended version with a lot more comments and additional music. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. To find out more about Trett and her music, please visit her excellent website at www.trettfury.com. I'm going to end this segment with one of my favorite of Trett's songs. It comes from the Radio Quiet album from 1998. One of your songs is called Tomboy Girl, and you've made sort of your own cottage industry out of that idea.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Well, I always, you know, when that song came out, women responded to it. Women related to it because so many of us grew up as tomboys. And, you know, so many of us still own that title and proudly so. And so when I wrote that song about my own life growing up as a tomboy growing up with 3 brothers, I wanted to do a t-shirt. And in 2000, my partner Jane and I decided, well, let's try it. Let's do a t-shirt and see how it sells. And women loved it. And then we did a hat. And then we did a tank top. And then we started a web business. And we would say, give us your requests. We'll see what we can do. And it turned into a line of clothing. I took on another partner, a good friend of mine in Massachusetts who became a very active part of the company. And Jane's dream was to start a retail store, and Carol's was as well. And so we eventually opened up a retail store in Madison. And now it's a retail business, a web business. I sell a lot of clothes at my shows. It's also my production company. The name is so tightly related to me now that my record company is Tomboy Girl Records. My production company is Tomboy Girl. Our fest that we had did Tomboy Girl Fest for a couple of years. It's just a name that's very closely associated with me, which is great. And the funny thing, you know, the interesting thing to me is, you know, on the road, I sell a lot of clothes to my audience, but in my store in Madison, I sell mostly to middle school girls and straight girls, and mothers come in with their daughters, and the daughters want, they love the clothing because they love the name. They can own it now. There's no onus attached to it anymore. It's something to be proud of. You know, since Title IX, more and more so, it's okay to be a tomboy. It's okay to be in sports. And girls these days, you know, they're all soccer champs and baseball and softball. And they come in, they buy the clothing, they wear it proudly, and it's great. It's nice to see.
Tomboy girl, I'll always be that girl. to come in. Tomboy muscle and tomboy skin. Running the bases, diving for home. Counting the hits of a skipping stone. Scuffing my shoes cause they look too new. Wouldn't you wanna be a tomboy too? Girl,